Doing one last little. Ah, yes, got it. The meeting's being recorded. Excellent. Yes, excuse me backstage while I'm brewing here. Venus trining Chiron. Yes, got it. Okay. I'm with you all there at last. But what a world. What a world. So we're all Inanna, you know, Barbie, Quetzalcoatl, descending into the underworld, and there is no air in our chart. So we're going to start with a very serious song about deconditioning. Here we go. Here we go.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack, and you may find yourself in another part of the world, and you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here? Letting the days go by, letting the water hold me down. Letting the days go by, water flowing underground. Into the blue again, after the money's gone. Once in a lifetime, water flowing underground. And you may ask yourself, how do I work this? You may ask yourself, where is that large automobile? And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife. Letting the days go by, let the water hold me down. Letting the days go by, water flowing underground. Into the blue again, after the money's gone. Once in a lifetime, water flowing underground.
Same as it ever was. 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 Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Nice job, Kermit.
Thank you.
Nice job, Kermit.
Thank you.
Nice job, Kermit.
Thank you.
Man, that was weird.
It's very charming. It's very charming. And it is about deconditioning. Remember, as Venus, Quetzalcoatl, Barbie, all of us descend into the underworld, we take off everything external from which we had gleaned our identity, right? The jewelry, the crown, the everything into the underworld, and the inferior conjunction of the sun and Venus, the heart of the underworld, will be August 13th. Oh, we're getting there. So then she will return as the morning star around August 24th somewhere. But it reminds us that there are many portals to the underworld, right? And a little shout out to our beloved Judy Prisket. I hope you're there. Whose daughter Eliza took a tumble down 20 stairs and had a concussion in Maine. So we dreamed that the Judy Prisket part of ourself, the daughter part of herself, part of ourself, part of Ceres and Demeter, took a little tumble into the underworld for all of us. Wonderful daughter Eliza, hello there, is a fellow Libra. And for all of us, I love the word deliberate, right? Because it comes from Libra. And it comes from two verbs, librare, to liberate, and libare, to balance. So to be deliberate is to be in a state of liberating balance. But we are aspiring champions of story reframe. And one of the most compelling past life recalls I've ever read is a woman, a British woman named Om Seti, but she just was growing up in a British middle class thing, but she took a tumble down the stairs and remembered her life in ancient Egypt vividly, so vividly that when she actually went there to the archaeological dig, she's like, dig over there. That's where the ceremonial baths were, and dig over there. And so you never know. Something gets shaken loose, you know, and we go, you know, into your beautiful Persephone daughter, Eliza. Yes, we give all dream support for coming back and getting on a bus back to New York. There we go. Okay, rising up out of the underworld. And so it is a series daughter thing. And to beloved Kathy Dixon, yes, I'll get back to you soon. Your daughter also, well, we're all in the underworld. And then your beautiful granddaughter and many, many things. And then the portals to the underworld are many, and some are humbling. For some of us, it's eating a third of a jar of peanut butter late at night. Oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? But we're all up against our own quirky perversities. So that was a little portal to the underworld. So, team, and the note I sent was, written last night on True Llamas, right, where we had wild storms across, you know, huge chunk of the country, right? And wild storms. And it's like, ooh, the thunder gods are, and the wind and the spiraling gods are speaking. And our little neighborhood didn't get much, just a whole bunch of branches and debris on the ground, but it wasn't like the huge tornado warnings that we were all in, but other places did, you know. But it's like, if we're not in immediate danger, you know, and even the cats and the dogs were finding it kind of interesting and then almost a little disappointing when it died down, going, that's it? Okay. But we can listen, you know, to the storm. What's the storm saying? What does it want to speak to us? So I was reminded of what we're doing here, right? So I lit my giant purple High John the Conqueror candle as the storm was wilding around to call in what we need, because we're humbled. To call in wise leadership and mutual aid and deep delving sane reverence and non-harmful ingenuity, right? Because it's like, oh, humans, right? So it turns out, you know, the conundrum, which is why we need to, and we want to invite in help. So, you know, the electric and hybrid cars, right? But they require these rare metals, which require, you know, horrific mining, which the thing, the wind machines, right, generators in the ocean are causing great harm to the whales, because as our friend Michael Stocker explained, you know, whales dive down with their mouth open and you can't see much in the ocean, and they go down. And if you hit an, you know, iron thing, that would be a terrible, terrible calamity. So it's like, foresight. We haven't been thinking about all of the implications of our energy renewal, even what looks good. So deep delving. So biomimicry, yes. And we do want to do some reverie and some, you know, kind of trancy animating of the Statue of Freedom, which I sent along in the missive. And then we will see in a moment, accompanied by music. But it's like, okay, team, we're on number four, you know, let's do some deep reverie. And the reason I chose the Statue of Freedom, who is on top of the U.S. Capitol, and the only other Statue of Freedom is on top of the Georgia Capitol. And when we were doing, a whole bunch of us were doing election magic in 2020, we were following the guidance of Dion Fortune, wonderful ancestor ally, you know, who was hired by the British government in World War II to get all the ritualists of Britain, you know, to do ritual to protect Britain from the Nazi invasion. And they were doing it by mail. We have Zoom, right? So she would get them all to concentrate on a particular image at a particular time. And the things I always use, she said, it was essential in our work to maintain an atmosphere. Remember, we are artists of atmosphere, an atmosphere of tranquility in our workspaces. Otherwise, how could we have hoped to have been a nucleus of stability for the nation's soul? And it's like, okay. And talking to Sean Patrick O'Donohue, with whom I've often collaborated, I go, The unfortunate, wonderful, not really an animist exactly, but he goes, no, it was the nation's soul, and now we want, you know, the soul of the earth to infuse the nation's soul. And one of the things that Dion Fortune guided her team to do is the whole concept and ritual magic of the egregor. She was like, pick an image, pick a statue, pick a something that you want to bring alive. And so we picked the Statue of Freedom on top of the Capitol, and we were bringing her alive. And I had my little altar with little cornmeal from the Georgia state capitol to the US capitol, and little circle of protection going, there she is, she's alive. And I think that that was important and good. So we want to be doing that again. And the soundtrack we're about to play is also from Baba Z's The Prince Who Contemplated His Soul, so wonderful. I think a zikr is where in the movie and in Sufi real life, the zikr is where you journey to this trance celebration to bring in good. So I'm just going to invite us all to enter into a kind of trancey state as we hear the music and concentrate on the image of freedom to bring alive. There's many beings we want to invite to our council tonight, and freedom is the first one. So just as we hear the music and it's the zikr, just again, animate the Statue of Freedom. Here we go. Thank you. She's alive. She's coming alive. And my friend Robinette Kennedy, who lives in Georgia, and I told her about the Statue of Freedom on top of the Georgia State Capitol. And she's like, I grew up in Atlanta and I've looked at the Capitol every day, but I never saw her until you pointed it out. And there she is all the time. You know, and for all of us, anytime we watch the straight news, and again, there are those who don't, and we do it for you. Anytime it shows the Capitol in back of somebody, there she is. And you can wave to her now. We've got a connection. And I love the Georgia, you know, in the Georgia, her sword is unsheathed, right? And it's not a sword of harm. It's a sword of discernment and justice. Yeah. And as Sandra said, she's so beautiful. The Statue of Freedom, I've never seen her before. Oh, yes. Well, she's on the news every night, right? She's there, the backdrop, you know, and she's, as you can see, she's very trippy. She's not exactly Native American, but she's wearing the stars and she's got feathers and she's got a sword that is sheathed. And in Georgia, it's not, right? But again, the connection to the egregores, that's really good. Right, exactly. The music started slowly. Zana, that's true. Patience, there we go. Many wonderful things here. Yes, greetings. I'm going backwards just for fun. Yeah, the storms in the mountains of Colorado were positively the breath of the divine. Lammas Eve, Sunday night in a forest of oak, says Suzanne, that spreads for miles over hills and ravines. It felt good. The thunder was resonant and rolling. Yeah, the thunder beings are speaking, right? And there was all these pictures of like the dark clouds over the Washington Monument and over the Capitol. It's like they'd like a word. They'd like a word, right? It was an eve of revelry, as it was. Yeah, and it was good because it was a sacred thing. And for myself, we didn't lose power. We lost internet until about a minute ago. We're back. But I was like, no, resist the distractions, resist the peanut butter, resist the, you know, don't turn on, just listen to the storm. It's so wonderful. And the animals were like, yes, because last time Jupiter and Uranus were in Taurus together was 1940, right? Many dark and difficult things, but also that's when Dionne Fortune was operating with her powerful ritual magic, which I think was effective. I think it had, and part of her guiding principles were, we were not to harm anything. We were not even against anything. We were protecting. And that's where I think we want to kind of go to do our dream work tonight. Yeah, so there's the music. There's the music. And she is so beautiful. So Sandra, she is. Yes. So, there's that, and we do know that we want help. We want to invite in the I'll just go to our chart briefly, and then we will bring in our guests in many forms. Okay, so here's us for fun, you know. And when we began, Saturn was right on the horizon, rising, going, ooh, deep dedication. It takes us back to these essential things that we began with, to wonder, what is our deepest dedication? What is our deepest dedication to the dream, right? And Saturn has this beautiful, it's our quintile, to look at this great lineup here. Saturn quintiles Jupiter at 14 Taurus, which is a great image. Uranus was stationing there off and on for the last 2 years, so it's got a big imprint. And when a planet stations, it looks like it's standing still at a particular degree for a long time. And I'm going to say this because it's cool, but we will translate it too. So where Uranus was stationing, Jupiter has now arrived. So what was quickening in the last couple of years, Jupiter says, now here's the opportunity earned by that quickening. And the quintile, of course, is irresistible eloquence, but it's great. It's a Saturn-Jupiter harmonious dance. Saturn is constrict and focus. and Jupiter is expand. The whole nature of creation, of course, is constrict, expand. It's digestion. It's the pulse, right? It's pull in, you know, focus in order to expand. And the image for Jupiter now, where Uranus was spending a lot of time, it's this great degree, right? In the midst of a wild storm, we're having that, and there's plenty more to come, goodness. In the midst of a wild storm, a stranger walks into town carrying a large black bag, wearing a silk top hat, the doctor, magician, collaborator with natural forces. And we go, right, right. That's the part of us we want to invite in. That's the part of inner and outer we want to invite in. It's great. And Saturn says dedication opens the portals. Remember, quintiles, you know, not only irresistible eloquence and our dedication to guiding ourselves and others, to everyone, to their own autonomy. And it's also, you know, craft the vessel of dedication. And Jupiter says, I will fill it. And I think I told you all this, but I can hardly remember. We're all in a spacey, interesting place, right? Because with Sean Patrick O'Donohue, the last council on plants and planets, you know, and he was having a challenging time with many things, and I was too, right? And I said, you know, well, whatever council we're convening, whatever class we're giving, we're taking it too. So I said, so have you crafted your vessel? And he was like, no. And I go, well, we should do that. We should follow our own guidance. And for all of us too, I just went around the house, you know, and found vessels, you know, Tibetan bowls and things that were dusty and wanted to be brought alive. You know, it's that wonderful animistic thing to tweak the house until it sings. We have Jupiter trining these Virgo beings here. Linguistic precision guides the vision, but also the little small things, the little small things that have a big effect. So to tweak the house until it sings is really great. And just our little tour here. So Saturn to Jupiter says to all of us, and now and this coming week, you know, to craft our vessel. And actually having a literal vessel is good, right? And then to put, you know, our wonderings in there, our dedications in there, our desirable visions in there. And Jupiter says, I will fill it. You know, and there's plenty, you know, we're in the underworld with Venus. Here's the Sun and Venus, and they're getting closer and closer together. And yeah, Dark Moon Lilith, right? And our ally Priscilla is we're going to help you with Zoom in a moment to introduce your ancestors, because you were referencing Dark Moon Lilith and Venus, both at 23 Leo, you know, and they are squaring the Taurus people, reminding us that all performance, all creativity wants to be for the Earth, for democratic animism, for participation, for dedicating to being a cultural agent on behalf of what we love in nature. But there's a lot here. Even the moon is, you know, exalted in Taurus with this fabulous lineup. So all spicy, you know, liberated animals, beings, heroes, women, men, you know, with silk top hats and black bags, you know, are present, you know. And the square, a 90 degree angle, is an assignment to resolve illusory conflict, you know. So between creativity and the Earth, and we go, no, they belong together. And if we go back far enough, you know, all rituals, all community rituals, you know, included a thanks to the animals and the sea creatures and the plants and the animals, that it's all participatory. You know, this is participatory astrology, participatory animism, participatory, however we define politics, right? And Saturn back here says, define everything, everyone, for oneself. What is everyone's definition of wise leadership? And define politics, you know, as just a dedication to participating in collective well-being. I think that works, right? I do love many things, I guess, just a few little things to bring into play. But yeah, the square, so Venus is in the underworld, exactly square the moon. So it's like, however we get to the underworld, you know, there's that. And there are many, many portals. And we do wish the beautiful daughter Eliza to remember her past lives in Egypt or whatever can bring laughter. We have no air in our chart tonight, so it's up to us to provide levity. There's plenty. There's 6 earth, 2 fire, 2 water, 0 air. So levity and playfulness and story reframing. So we can come back to this, but I just wanted to bring a few things into play. That all these Taurus guys are also trining these Virgo people, Mars woofiness. You know, it's like, what kind of hero? And it's like the language crafting healing, language crafting as healing. And the thing I always use, or I love to use for Virgo, is just a little thing from a fantastic series of books called The Initiate Brother. And there's a great leader on whom there's much stress, and things are going badly. And he retreats to his garden, and everything just seems off. Maybe a little bit like some of us might have felt today, just everything just a little off. Everything seems off. Even the stream in his garden has lost its melodious voice. So here comes the animistic Virgo thing. So he reaches into the stream and he picks up one small stone and he carefully replaces it in the stream. And the stream has its melodious voice restored. And his mind clears and he sees who to trust, who not to trust, and how to save the world, right? So this is very now, when overwhelmed by the enormity, it says, just move one small stone. Not any stone, right? It's the part of us that can reach into the stream and go, what stone wants to be moved? Okay, this stone, right there. Where do you want to go? There. Now the Mercury, the voice has been restored. Right. So that's just a wonderful thing to play with. When it's overwhelmed, it's like, just move one small stone to restore the voice of the stream, or to tweak the house until it sings. And we go, that's great. So, all right, we'll leave the chart for now. Goodbye, chart. We'll come back to this. I like, that's right. We like the gallery. Okay, I guess I'll be speaker. But I like seeing everybody. So right. And then Aaron says, I saw the Statue of Liberty. Yes, that's a great story too. Right. All of these are available more than props. They're available for quickening, you know. And you know, many things in Washington, D.C. were placed with ritual intention to be brought alive. The Statue of Freedom is one of those. They're eager for our attention. So Erin saw the Statue of Liberty the other night while driving into New York, and she's gorgeous, her light shining out to the ocean. And was imagining the Statue of Freedom glowing, shining light during that beautiful music, right? The zikr, the bringing it alive, the calling it in, the partnering with that which is, you know, strong and imbued with freedom and protecting democracy. Anne says, when I think of her, I do not feel so much that I'm animating the statue, but the statue is the portrayal of a living spirit of our country. Yes. By contemplating, honoring her, I am supporting her, nurturing her, bolstering her, and welcoming the cooperation that she has the capacity for. I find working with her has been very solid, real, working with the great strength and beauty of our place in this world. Beautiful. Yeah, fabulous. And then, you know, so Priscilla, we can help you to unmute, but if you would care to introduce your relatives? Is that a fun thing to do?
Oh, I think so. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Oh, you skillful person. You know all about
Zoom. My daughter just helped.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great. That's great. Anyway, I stuck both of your emails or placed them reverently in our missive because they're so fun. So I hope people have read them or will read them. But yeah, no, that's good. And I have them here for reference. But that was so wonderful. So do you want to take it from here?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, good.
So I had a major ceremony today, thinking 8-8 is, you know, the perfect little portal to go.
Oh, yeah. And
so I invited these two old codgers into the Dream News Council, and because I believe that their cognition apparently wasn't colonized by the forces of the day. So the first guy is Pierre Dialy. Today we say Udaly. He's a cousin. He was hanging around in 1351 to 1420, and he tended the stargates and the portals. He practiced astrology readings, sinful man that he was at the time. He communicated with unseen forces, Lilith, I think. And I was thinking about your thing about having her vulva plowed, and I wondered what Lilith thinks of that. And I explained that the guiding force in our lives are the heavenly bodies frolicking rather than how much work and abstaining was being done, as were the forces to say. Oh, wait, I just lost my spot.
It will find you.
It will? Okay. I must have touched the screen and it went zooming around here. Interesting that before I did the ceremony, though, I did draw the King of Wands, the leader, a spiritual leader, and thought, oh, that is kind of interesting. I'm sorry.
No, let me distract you further just for a moment, which is, so there's Venus at 23 Leo and the dark, and Lilith is 23 Leo. Explain to me, what is Lilith?
I see her as the dark energy who won't cooperate.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, but how do we find her? But she's not really a thing in the sky. She's a...
she's only a dark feeling, a dark... Yes.
But so how do we know where she is?
I saw her on a chart.
There you go. Me too. All right. I guess. Okay. We all know about Lilith then. I'm just wondering if she's a calculation. I mean, we'll figure it out.
I don't know if she's a calculation.
Okay. Well, no, but it is. But it is cool that Venus and Lilith are the same degree. So whatever Lilith is, the dark Lilith, right? She was the disobedient wife,
right, of Adam.
For Adam,
she didn't take his shit, did she?
No, that's exactly well put. Right, right, yeah. very well put, and so eloquent. That's right. She didn't put up with him, and so she got dismissed, and then they got the
right. Yeah, and then so they accused her of being a terrible, terrible witch, causing a great deal of trouble around the countryside.
Right. So, So you had said that Venus conjuncting the sun and the ornery, uncooperative Lilith. Well, right, she's a heretic.
Right, exactly. Just yeah. Like these other two guys that I was bringing in.
Right. Uncle Willie, aka Thomas William Crabtree.
And Uncle Willie, yeah.
September 1962.
Well, Willie Crabtree, he's a little bit later. He's at the time of the witches in England, actually. I can't find where I'm supposed to be, but he is the one who said, he and hanging out with Kepler and the whole gang, they tried to make like they were good little Lutherans, but really they were saying, I think it's the stars, not the church. And so old Crabtree is the one who actually saw and charted as Venus crossed in front of the sun in, I think, 1639, maybe. I can't find it. I don't know why I can't find it.
Well, let me see if I can find it for you. But yeah, the transit of Venus is a big cool thing.
Yeah. And they figured it out. The other guys were an hour off, but old Crabtree was right on.
Right. So I've got the, so there's things I can, that's right. So the divine will revealed in the stars. That's right. That although human will remains free, the outcomes of earthly endeavors are subject to astrological influences. But also remember, Kepler's mother was accused of witchcraft.
Right? Exactly. And that was in retaliation for him being so bold as to say, I don't think that we are the center of the world.
Right. Right. Yeah, there's an interesting historic novel called Everyone Knows Your Mother's a Witch. And I didn't know the history, and it took me a long time in the narrative, this woman, about her being, is narrating her being accused of witchcraft, and she talks about her son in court. And then I go, oh, this Kepler. Is Kepler's mother. This is Kepler's mother, right? And he did a lot to keep her from being burned alive. Although
with the rest of them, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that old Crabtree's wife dies only 2 years after they hung those 10 witches in Lancashire. So I'm thinking she's in on the deal. I'm thinking that she's probably one of the healers.
Right. And then I can actually, I mean, I have, let me just for a brief moment, I can show everyone what you sent me. Let me see if I can find this here. I think so. No, it's hard for me to, oh yeah, we're going to see if that's, does that do it? No, I can't tell what's, oh yeah, here we go. Okay. So, oh no, not that one, but this will do. All right. So there's Freedom. The trickster cousin Pete. Yeah, here's yourself. Can you see what you wrote?
Oh yeah, okay.
And I think we've got those things, but you sent this the book's woodcut frontispiece shows a theologian and an astronomer in harmonious conversation beneath the heavenly spheres.
Yeah, I thought that was such a cool image there.
It is a great image, and we're happy to honor it with our energy and bring it even more alive. So it's a book, History, Prophecy, and the Stars, The Christian Astrology of Pierre Daly. How do we say this?
Daly.
Daly. And he is an actual relative of yours?
Yes. Oh. He's definitely a cousin. Yeah, my mother was a Udaly. The name changes to Udaly. I tracked them clear back to the Gauls in northern France.
That's so cool.
And it's so cool.
Because the image for, I'm pretty sure, and we can all hum along with this too. Right. The image for Mars right now at 13 plus Virgo is an aristocratic family tree. Tracing one's lineage. You're doing it.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, seemingly faded connections to others, the ongoing drama, emotional roots and interconnections, tracking ancestry, complex stories. You're doing it. You're giving Mars, you're bringing Mars alive. That's super wonderful. So, yes, well, welcome. And he didn't get burned or anything.
Well, no, but they were declared heretics. The
right.
Whole of them, yeah.
Right. So well, that's wonderful. So we welcome Daly, right? It's like I love what happens to language. A friend of mine was born in Kentucky, and I go, oh, you were born in Versailles, Kentucky. He goes, we call it Versailles, right?
Right.
So I go, of course you do, right? So
we don't want any of that fancy French stuff.
Well, right. Well, it's also in England, right? Of course, in London, the subway stop, you know, Elephant and Castle, because it comes from L'Enfant de Castile. It's like, oh, those British people and everybody.
Yeah.
So that's super great. That's wonderful. So we welcome that. And anything else you want to report from your.
Well, I did love what William Crabtree wrote to his friend.
Mm.
He said, my friend, Mr. Horrocks, professeth, but it's professeth with a TH. That little touch which I gave him hath ravished his mind quite from itself and left him an ecstasy, spelled E-X-S-T-A-S-I-E, between admiration and amazement. I beseech you, sir, slack not your intentions for the perfection of your begun wonders.
Oh, the ancestors are beaming at you, Priscilla. That's right. You're giving you're giving voice to the ancestors. And you know, and then just for the fun of it, our beloved Kathy Dixon has just entered. Hi there. Hi there. I mentioned you at the beginning going, I'll get back to you very soon, Kathy Dixon, you know, your wonderful granddaughter, and then talking about mothers and daughters and the descent into the underworld. And so honor, honor, welcome, welcome. Yeah, that is a great email, as Sandra says, great email, Priscilla, so appreciated. Yeah, and it's in everybody's missive. So that's really great. And Elizabeth says to everybody, the statue, okay, of freedom, which we were just honoring, seems like such a beautiful expression of Uranus in Taurus, so earthy and liberating. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, there's more people coming in late. Of course, they're tricksters. How wonderful. There's no such thing as late. Lilith associated with the screech owl, the wife of Adam. Yeek. Right. And then I will do more research. It's something I haven't gotten to in 800 years of astrology going, how do we know where Lilith is? Right. I think it's dark moon Lilith. So it has something to do with the moon shadow, but I loved your answer. Like, how do you know where it is, Priscilla? I saw her on the chart. It's like, that's correct thing. That's super great. So with the French heretical ancestors and everyone, you know, journeying to the underworld in whatever form the portals have opened up, you know, some have tumbled, some have eaten jars of peanut butter, some have, you know, small and large, you know, ways of entering in. So, but so is the country, right? So wait, I had all of Priscilla's emails here and I will put them in a sacred place backstage there. Oh yeah, that's really great. It's really great. Anyway, thank that, Priscilla. That's just super wonderful. So we've animated or whatever the preferred word, you know, we've offered ourselves in collaborative cahoots to the Statue of Freedom, because let's do some dreaming, team. So dream work, focused reverie, you know, inviting other beings. Well, we've invited ancestors and, you know, and interesting ancestors, they are eager with their prismatic perspectives to be invited into play. So everyone think of desirable ancestors, right? We all have undesirable ancestors possibly, but they can be that we might want to invite in. And again, it can be humans, but it's so literal. You know, Priscilla bringing in her fantastic. Well, they're handing you the torch, right? So I love the trickster cousin, Pierre Daly, and then you gave a great introduction. Really wonderful. It's in our missive. We will look over that. But is that book History, Prophecy, and the Stars, the Christian Astrology of Pierre Daly? It is available. Okay, it's available. Princeton University Press. Okay, cool. That Princeton University Press is a class act. They did most of Jung's work and everything. So it's like, okay, well, so we all have so much to research. And that's a great, great story. Yes, and you did, you as you said, Priscilla, took the presumptuous liberty of inviting into your dream council two relatives whose cognition apparently wasn't colonized. Well put, well put. We are here to do that. There we go. And then many other things. So yes, and that's why I put underneath that in the missive, everyone feel encouraged to invite whomever, whatever heretical ancestor. Remember, heretic, term of praise in early religion, means free thinking, cross-pollinating contributor to culture so that knowledge never degraded into superstition or dogma. That's what we need there. So yeah, wondrous welcome in our dreaming the news. So when I said that, you know, Saturn quintiles Jupiter, again, crafting the vessel. And then I said, perhaps pewter. So we're all rummaging in our magic backpacks for things. So it was a ways ago, last summer, that's last summer, that I was cahooting with Pat Ewing and seeing how Biden was under so much attack, right? You know, he's old, he's the thing, you know. And I go, Pat, I think we should surround Biden with a pewter shield to deflect what's not useful and just to give a place of gathering wits where his best self can convene with him. And she's like, yes, you know, and I'll get my two little witch daughters on it too. And she said, and let's see the 10 acres of the White House just with a little glimmering goodness to it. And I was like, yeah. And then she called back a couple of days later going, I think it's working. You know, Joe Manchin changed his mind, Build Back Better is back in the game. Biden recovered from COVID, let's keep this up. I just want to offer to us the pewter shield. I don't know why pewter, but it's a wonderful metal. It's tin and lead, right? It's Jupiter and Saturn. Tin is sacred to Jupiter, which is why I don't know that this is true. But it's said that fortunes made from tin are ill-fated, that tin, you know, this is, we can, superstition, we don't know. Tin protests when it's pulled from the earth. And I go, well, okay. Again, it's part of Martine Prechtel, you know, talking about restoring manners to our rogue species. Was the oil invited out of the ocean? Was the oil invited to become plastic? Was the plastic invited? Of course not, you know. So it's Venus is in the underworld to, you know, remind us of manners, not social mismanners, but intrinsic collaborative manners. So back to the pewter shield. So Pat and I were doing that, you know, and going, oh, okay, I think that's a good idea. And then when I went to the Bioneers Conference in April, pretty great convening of solution people. And the thing that I most liked was Kim Stanley Robinson, who is a premier historic now climate crisis science fiction writer. And he said he's less gloomy than when he wrote The Ministry for the Future, which I could not make it through. But it is very realistic about, you know, it's like huge heat, it's happening, huge heat die-offs and everything. But he was talking with this woman, Leah Stokes, who had been working with the Biden administration on climate policy. And Kim Stanley Robinson, who's a very strong socialist and critic of everything, you know, but he goes, isn't it wonderful that Biden has put so many young, smart women in charge of climate policy? And it's like, whoa. And Kim Stanley Robinson hardly says anything nice about hardly anybody. And he was talking with Leah Stokes, and she was delineating, you know, that so many were working so hard on Build Back Better, which is a phenomenal accomplishment. it had to shapeshift and change its name. But she's giving the dates in which she said all the news people were calling up saying, we want to do a story on how Build Back Better is dead. And she goes, it's not dead. And then she said, the only time she cried was when Chuck Schumer said it's dead. Right. But then she was working with colleagues who were deep underground, right, in the underworld, right? The underworld is also a fertile place where things happen, you know. And one of them sent her a little celebration emoji, and she was like, "What?" And she said, "We've got Build Back Better. We've got the most comprehensive climate change investment in renewable energy, you know, ever. All we had to do was change the name, and we did have to compromise on a bad drilling project here, but we'll work to stop that, you know." And it was a great miracle. And I'm just bringing that in because the dates were exactly the same time that Pat and I were pewtering, right? And we go, right. So it's like a friend of mine says, the gods are willing to do 50%, but not 51%, right? So it's like, you know, and that woman, Leah Stokes, I want to get in touch with her because she was doing all this incredible dedication while giving birth to premature twins, right? Just and she said she got a lot of hate mail you know, from people who are like, oh, you just, it's terrible, the thing, you know. And she goes, the thing that hurt most was the hate mail from progressive people. And I go, oh, and tell me about it. I work with Pacifica Radio for 27 years, you know, the infighting. And that's why I always use the Allison Laurie quote, the reason academic politics is so vicious is because the stakes are so small. It's like, don't get a measure. And again, you know, some charitable woofiness, we're all in this dream together, you know, and to support those who are dedicated against, you know, while giving birth to premature twins, dedicated to collective well-being and doing what they can, you know, and doing this hard detail work, but it got done. And I just wanted to bring that part in. So pewter shields, we're back to pewter shields. It's a wonderful thing, you know, for us all as well, to think of a pewter shield that deflects what is not necessary, anything distracting, and gives us some reflective solace. And I was saying backstage to the team, Aaron and Richard, that there's a very fun TV series called What We Do in the Shadows. I don't know if anybody knows it. It's a comedy parody about vampires, but very charming and kind of pertinent. And there's a great and terrible character called, he's an energy vampire. And he goes, I'm an energy vampire. I just go into long, boring conversations and I can drain the room. I can drain the room. And he said, and social media is such a feast for me, he says, as an energy vampire. You can go... He said, you can just get on the internet and within minutes, you can have hundreds of strangers furious with you. And it's like, I feed on that. Right. But even he gets then sucked into the thing. Anyway, it's very witty. And just one last little thing is Colin Robinson is the energy vampire. It's a great metaphor. And because he's it's like the droning on the office boss guy, and then everybody's going, and then at one point the other vampires are like, Colin's getting too powerful, right? And then he makes himself three of himself, but then they begin to argue and bore each other, and the vampire woman says, oh, Colin Robinson made three of himself, and then they bored each other to death. Anyway, so I just want to put that as a strategy as well, going the Dementors, you know, just let them fractal into, you know, and then let them bore each other to death. It's like, that's, we're just adding the trickster to Dion Fortune, not a barrel of laughs, Dion, you know, we're aspiring to be that. Oh, that's so great, Anne, right? That's right. And I've learned so much from Colin Robinson. Yes, I didn't know that so many people here know this, What We Do in the Shadows. It was actually a couple of energy vampires who told me about it, going, oh, good point. That's right. And so sorry you have to leave so soon. But thank you for the show recommendation. Right. Right. And then there's always the wonderful Groucho Marx line that I love the rare opportunities to use. I've had a wonderful evening. This wasn't it, but I've had a wonderful evening. Right. Anyway, so the energy vampires told me about the show about energy vampires, and that made it all funny. So that's great. And I've learned so much from Colin Robinson. And Suzanne says, yes, What We Do in the Shadows. See, and Sandra says, I love the movie. See, I don't know any of this. And I had to even look online for what are the lyrics to the song, because the intro song is very compelling, but I couldn't quite hear it, but it's very trippy. So everybody knows this. That's a great. All right. Okay, back. I'm just going to rummage with everybody here. This is good. Yes, that's right. So Sarah says, Ray Lilith, I don't think there's 100% consensus on what exactly Black Moon or Dark Moon Lilith is, but commonly Black Moon Lilith is considered the moon's apogee point, the furthest point from the Earth in the moon's orbit. That sounds right. I have no idea what it means, but it sounds right. I know I've heard that before. I think it's right. But it is in an exact place. In any case, Dark Moon Lilith is conjunct Venus in the underworld. It's a double statement. We go, all right, and we get to play, Adam's original wife that he threw over for being too heretical, Right. And apparently also that she wanted to have sex with her on top. These are the shocking things, like, no, no, get rid of a woman who wants to have sex where she's on top. No, that's somewhere in the Bible, maybe. I can't remember. Anyway, it's a rumor. And Susan, feel free to speak up, Susan, if you want. But Susan says, I'm inviting my 11th great grandfather, Samuel Gorton, who came in 1640 for religious freedom and nothing else. He got kicked out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Oh, wait a minute. I think we might have a connection. Wait, okay. Declared no hierarchy was needed, that we are all God, as it were, preached equality with all indigenous and slaves, and Roger Williams, who was the first and adamant about separation of church and state, both Rhode Island founders. We're connected, Susan. Look, it's taken us this long. My bad ancestor, Thomas Dudley, was the second governor of Massachusetts who tossed your grandfather and Roger Williams out. Truly, we are reunited at last. That's right, as tricksters. I welcome your ancestors, and we hope that my ancestor is learning his lesson somewhere. That's a hoot. That's great. I didn't know about Samuel Gorton, but I know that my ancestor, the grumpy and tyrannical Thomas Dudley, second governor of Massachusetts, did toss Roger Williams out because Roger Williams wanted to cooperate with the Native Americans. And I've always had a sweet spot for Rhode Island. You know, what cheer?
Warwick. Warwick is where Samuel Gorton habitated for a while.
Oh, that's so great. I know there Warwick was, well. Yeah.
I guess there was a group of Gortonites for a while.
That's so wonderful.
It was antithetical to what he was trying to do because he didn't believe in organized everything. But anyway, Caroline, I just love that. Right. I just love. Say again, your relative.
My great, great something, grand, 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 grand,
right,
dad,
right,
was,
right,
was Thomas Dudley, who was the second governor of Massachusetts and who booted Roger Williams out. And so there's a great split in the family, right? Because there's a whole bunch of Republican members of my family who go, oh, Thomas Dudley, he was so good to kick Roger Williams out. He was a Republican before there were such things. And it's like, you got that right. And here we are again, Susan and Caroline reunited. It goes on. I'm sure we'll track these things because there's other things. That's right. And then I've learned so much from Colin Robinson, right? The energy vampire. Well, I went off on that because of the pewter shields, right? And they can protect us from distraction, our own. But I also, you know, want us to play, encourage us to play with, you know, pewter shields around Judge Tanya name, around Jack Smith, around all governance, you know, all worthy, dedicated to democracy people, you know, safety and protection, you know, and the pewter shield, because
I wonder about a pewter shield simply around truth.
Yep.
Although truth is, you know, depending, I guess, but.
Well, incarnating into sensual actuality, you could say the truth, you know, incarnate in all who are dedicated to that, you know, because it is, you know, our Jupiter, our Uranus, our exalted moon in Taurus, square, dark moon, Lilith, trining Pluto, doing many things, trining Virgo planets, just move one thing, you know, Taurus is not about transcendence. When can we leave this veil of tears, and which is also kind of speciesist, right? Although in Buddhism, there is something called the Jatakamala, which is the tales of the Buddha's former lives as an animal, as animals, in which he was a good guy. But the transcendence, it's like, no, this is about incarnational sensuality. Even all the even the former Buddhas are like, we're back in the game. And I do want to also recommend a quirky movie that you know, only my friend Deborah Falmouth has taken my recommendation to watch. You know, just in the pandemic days, scrolling through Netflix, going, here's a kung fu movie, Judge D and the Four Heavenly Kings. But it is fantastic. It's like it's sort of like Barbie. It starts off as a standard thing, you know, an imprisoning thing, kung fu movie, whatever. But the ending is where the Taoist peacekeeper comes, and there's demons and terrible things going on, you know, and the Taoist peacekeeper comes, and the demons are hurtling things at him, you know, whatever. And there's a prison around, they hurl a prison around his head. But the minute they do that, there's a prison around their heads. And he said, you know, what happens to one happens to all. And he talks them, the demons and the bad people, into heartful repenting, where they come to the ground and then everybody's prisons come off. I can't do it justice, but it's really earned. It's like fantastic. But then the Taoist peacekeeper with his little, everybody's all ornate, and he's got his little humble worn sandals. It's super great. And he goes, sorry I was late. I didn't know how serious it was. You know, enlightenment can wait. The danger is here. Sorry I was so late. Right. Anyway, so I think that's time going, everybody, you know, vegans, you know, and I do like saying, you know, oh, Islamic fundamentalists, superstitious people who think that you're going to be met by 108 virgins. It's like, no, that's a mistranslation. You're going to be met by 108 really angry vegans with rolling pins. There we go. That's just going after you. So we want to shapeshift and play. So it's like, okay, everybody, come on in. Come on in. What is the name of the movie? It's called Judge D and the Four Heavenly Kings. And you will wonder at first, why did Caroline recommend this? But it's, again, one of those things like, wait for it. Oh, man, that was fantastic. I'm talking myself into wanting to rewatch it because it was like, it was a class act, you know, and pertinent now, you know. Enlightenment can wait. Danger's at hand. Sorry, I was late. Didn't know it was so serious. And so it's there. So the pewter shield. Around truth in its incarnate form. Remember, blessings love sensual specificity, or at least that's what our chart is bringing before us now. Sensual specificity. You know, and that's also the nature of desire. You know, in the Western tradition, it says, what is it we desire? Don't make it vague like enlightenment. Make it like a thing, a mango, you know, a cloak, a sensual thing. You know, metaphors are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. You know, and, you know, it's the Neptune stationing with the beautiful connection to Pluto and the trine to the Taurus planets and other things, and the quirky angle to Venus. Okay. So it says, you know, the metaphors incarnate like an actual vessel, like, you know, you can have an actual vessel or draw one or what, you know, Liberty Hall, whatever you want to do. But it has to do with, you know, incarnational actuality, like the pen to the paper or the bowl there. You know, literally all ritual, really, I'll just say this, it may or may not be true. All ritual is literalized metaphor, right? I mean, that's the basis of it. It's why something I don't do so much anymore, but it's we like an expanded repertoire. It's from my friend, late friend Marcelino, who was a Cuban santero, and therefore wonderful and sketchy too. But he said in Santeria, you know, if somebody's behaving badly, you write their name on a piece of paper and you put it in an ice cube tray in the freezer to cool them out. It's very fun. Sometimes, you know, in the past, I've had fairly full ice cube trays, you know, and at parties going, no, don't defrost that. God knows what would happen. But every now and then, you know, I go, do you want amnesty? Do you promise to be good? You know, we'll throw you in the river to melt if you want. But it's a fun thing. But it's, again, it's not harm. It's always with our manners. If I were behaving badly, would I mind if somebody wrote my name on a piece of paper and put it in the ice cream tray to cool me out? No, No, I think that would be fine. That would be fine. So whatever is okay with us, we're allowed to set in motion in our dream work and our blessing work. You know, remember the two rulers of Pisces, where Saturn lives, are Jupiter, blessing, curiosity, and Neptune, wonder. Curiosity and wonder and blessing. And Dion Fortune also was like, we're against nothing. We're protecting everything. We're not tossed into that polarity. And that's where we also might want to imbue our pewter shield with, you know, our dedication, you know, guide me to be responsive and not reactive, right? And that, but that's why also Colin Robinson is so good too, because he, you know, the vampire, the energy vampire. And it's great when he meets another energy vampire and they trade secrets about, here's how you really suck chi. Anyway, it's really good. But we can have our pewter shield to protect us from that. So I think that's good. And right, many things, there's notes, I sent those to you. But I'm fond of, in mainstream news, of Neil Katyal, who is a, you know, argues before the Supreme Court, just an educated person, commenting. I'm grateful. He goes, you know, what we're talking about here is a coup. You know, and he says, you know, right now, you know, what the former guy is doing, it's a fractal of the 2020 election, right? So we want to see guiding boundaries. I like, you know, whatever, again, what it's whatever we imbue with symbolism. I have a little bit of mugwort here. Mugwort is a wonderful plant. I love its two qualities. It is about protecting borders. And it's about dreaming. It seems very, very now. You can get it online, or some people are growing it. I'd like to grow it too. But I have it here in this vessel. I have mugwort and calamus. Calamus is for speaking the truth and encouraging the truth to leap out of people's mouths, even if they intended something else, right? But the mugwort, you know, it's sacred around the world. It's burned on the solstice or burned on bonfires, like llamas, right? And the ashes are used to protect one's home and to protect boundaries. Saturn says it's such a Saturn Pisces plant. So it's about protecting boundaries. It used to be super honored in the Ukraine. And it's like, you'll remember the mugwort. There's many fairy tales that you might have heard me tell with Max Dashu about mugwort, the power of mugwort. Wherever there's war, look to the fairy tales and the deeper Venus, and Venus has gone to the underworld, you know, to reconnect underneath all of the conflict in the world. Where is their beauty? You know, where is there something to cooperate with, to invite back into the world? You know, what do we want to see returning? But the mugwort thing, so it protects boundaries, so it's got a Saturn thing going, and it's a dream plant. People make mugwort pillows, like, for dreaming. It smells great. So I love that it's protection in order to dream. You know, and just in our Venus in the underworld theme, I will say just a little bit about what Max Dashu told me about mugwort and Russia and Ukraine. many of you may have heard this before, but here it is again. So Max said, you know, mugwort, sacred in fairy tales in the Ukraine. It's like, remember the quality of Pisces is, you know, what have we forgotten that we must remember? It's part of the dreamness. What have we forgotten that we must remember? And the mugwort, so Max tells this story, or retells this fairy tale, that a maiden is wandering in Ukraine and she falls into a pit with serpents. And they keep her there all winter. And they whisper their secrets. This is very Ceres Demeter. Some of the famous friezes of Ceres Demeter are shown in profile with the serpents whispering the secrets of the earth into her ears. Same thing. She falls into the pit. The serpents keep her there and in the winter. And then they form a ladder out of their bodies for her to climb back up to the earth. And the queen of the serpents says, we've taught you all we can and all you need to know about how to cooperate with nature. But mugwort is the secret, the secret name of mugwort is Chernobyl. Chernobyl means mugwort, but it's such a sacred name that you should not say it. And if you say it, you will forget everything we've taught you. And she goes, all right, that's cool. She comes back to the world. This is all part of the Venus in the Underworld stories. Goes, all right, cool. Walking down the road and somebody goes, what's that plant? And she goes, Chernobyl. Right. So it's these themes of forgetting and remembering, like what have we forgotten that we must remember? But mugwort apparently wanted to make an entrance here. So yeah, so making a little guiding boundaries with mugwort, maybe a little mugwort around the Statue of Freedom. I have a beautiful little statue of her. You can order one from the US Capitol, a beautiful. Wait, where is she? Oh, she's traveled to the other room. She has a mind of her own. But she also she goes really well with, let me see if I can find these people. All right, okay. She goes really well with this team, right? So this is I don't know where she comes from. But she's pretty serious, but she goes very well with Kali Barbie. Right. So however you want to have under this is Kali Barbie. Right. In many manifestations. And this is I just call her spicy woman woof. So here's Kali Barbie. Very witty. It's irreverent, but we're heretics. Right. So reverent irreverence is a liberating thing. But then, you know, this is somebody we might, you know, for those who have a spicier mindset, there's the serpents. Right. There's the scary sheath, but remember she's not unlike the Statue of Freedom. She's the Statue of Freedom gone to the underworld. I think that's what that's going on there. Instead of she's got the sword thing and then the skull. She's a wrathful Dakini. And remember, it's a Pluto image, you know, that we're stuck with the Greek and Roman names for the planets, you know. Why not? But many masculine and feminine versions of all of them. And Pluto, this is very feminine Pluto. And I think that all of the gods and goddesses are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. And what the wrathful Dakinis represent is they are that in nature which metabolizes poison. And it's said that they laugh and dance as they feast on the painful negativity that the unenlightened would take to be a problem. They're like, well, she doesn't look like she's laughing at the moment. She might be a distant cousin, but she's got a very stylish snake going on there. But they take the poison of anger and cook it into the tonic of wrath, which is fierce protection of the whole community. Arda. They take the poison of seduction and cook it into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive. And then, you know, Kali Barbie is very witty too. So we invite them to join us as well as the wonderful ancestor, as well as everybody. Right. Okay. That good. That good. Okay. What's the name of the movie? Okay. Judge D and the Four Heavenly Kings. Similar to the Mexican tradition with the name, oh, and put it in the freezer. Well, I guess it's a Hispanic tradition, right? But it is back to that thing, you know, all ritual magic is literalized metaphor, right? That's really the thing. Yeah, I love Anne says, I love the RX around her neck, the abbreviation for prescriptions used by pharmacists. Exactly. From Egyptian guy. Do you know the history? I can't quite pull it up, but all right. So there's that. All right. So all right. We're having too much fun. I think again, you know, we haven't done a lot of group focus, right? Well, we've sort of, you know, but and everybody again according to their own thing. I would like to see. You know, always with the proviso, unless Trickster has a better idea, a speedy trial of the former guy, you know, a boundaried thing, right? because, well, we all want to work on this together here. You know, I want to see a speedy trial, a conviction, a Supreme Court letting it go, you know, and incarcerated before the election.
A united jury.
Yes. Oh, thank you. United jury. That's very important. Right. Protected. They're going to need protection.
Yes.
They're going to need protection. A united, protected jury, you know, and always again, because we are friends of their soul, we are friends of their accountability. Saturn accountability is the sine qua non for democracy. And at this point in the game, it's the sine qua non for life on this planet. You know, that we brought up last time, you know, Project 25, which is important to know about. But for those who don't follow the news, that's fine. You follow the snake news and the dream news. We'll do it for you. But it is something to be aware of, which is it's the Koch brothers and all the oil and gas industry and all the really dementors, right, who are gathering to, if any Republican is elected president, they will take away the Environmental Protection Agency. They will deregulate all industry. And it's like, protection, calm protection. We call in freedom. We call in spicy, whoever that woman was. We call in, you know, Samuel of Warwick, right? The warlock from Warwick, whatever. So
I wanna add on to the speedy conviction of 45, all those who are lined up that supported and encouraged and aided, we can't just end with him.
Right.
He's gotta be the beginning. So right. However you want to phrase that.
Right. Yeah. Right. And well, we'll leave it to Trickster to do the complete tally. And just a little example, you know, we gather these things along the way. So there was an astrology conference. Oh, it was a long time ago, but memorable. I think it was Obama's first run, 2004, maybe. But anyway, at the astrology conference in Colorado, and it was right where the Democrats were having their convention. And there was an astrologer born on my birthday, who went to the Fox News people and said, the Republicans are going to win, you know, whatever. And they were like, oh, that's great. We'll come to the final session on, you know, the political astrology panel that I was not invited onto. But I release ancient grievance. Right. Right. And so the Fox News people were going to go, oh, we're going to feature this astrologer who said the Republicans are going to win. And I was so, it got my goat. I was like, oh, no. And I was swimming laps in the hotel pool going, and then it was like, right, no, leave it to Trickster. Don't feed the polarity, leave it to Trickster, whatever is truly best for this situation. And so there was the panel and the Fox News cameras were all lined up and the woman never showed up because it was a time when people wore watches and her watch stopped. And I was like, oh, thank you. Yes, that's great. Okay. So we also, we put our desires on the table and then go, and we call in Trickster to resolve it in a most satisfying way. You know, that there be justice and accountability and even some humor in the fullness of time. But yes, all those, you know, and the Koch brothers, I think about this often. It's nigh impossible to boycott them because they own everything. They own Lycra, right? It's a toxic in the landfill thing, but it's hard to find a household without Lycra. You know, it's like, it's just amazing. Anyway, but yes, your point is well taken. You know, all those, we'll craft it together. All those not dedicated to collective well-being, all those, you know, inimical to the democratic experiment that has yet to be fully tried, right? And that is crucial. And that's why I love, you know, all the planets lining up saying democratic animism. So it's cooperating with everything as having a a right and a voice in the council. But yeah, so however we all want to do that, right, the speedy trial. I wonder, yeah, Elizabeth says, I wonder if conviction would help his election. So phrasing the aspiration to support the soul of the land primarily. Yeah, you know, fair enough. Yes, toxic mimics of democracy. Yeah, no, that's right. And this is where we get to play. I want incarceration with no Wi-Fi, you know, and the Secret Service can volunteer to go in with him. Just a plate of magic mushrooms and some holy texts. Just, you know, a customized underworld, right, that we would accept, right? If we had been up to no good, I go, yeah, a plate of magic mushrooms, you know, and this is Ceres Demeter, you know, Venus in the underworld entertainment. Because Venus is in the underworld and she's throwing a party, right? Because who says the underworld has to be a grim place? Only once there was a priesthood did it become a horrible place, right? Before that, you know, our prefix dis, D-Y-S, D-I-S, dystopia, dismay, it means underworld, where we're taken to the underworld by a dis, where our souls can speak more deeply to us, you know, and in that realm. So, and Elizabeth, good point. That's why it's a council, would help his election. But if he's in jail, I think at a certain point, you know, our atmospheric, and we'll do more this week and our next Kahoot next Tuesday, but to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable, you know, and it's in which people wake up from the spell of the cunning man, you know, that has drawn forth the worst of people. There's a, you know, some ancient movies. The 7 Days in May is a very ancient movie about Washington, D.C., but it's pretty great. And it makes an important point. It's about an idealistic president and a military coup against him. But at a certain point, you know, I can't remember who all the demons are, but at a certain point, it goes too far. And some of the guys go, no, can't go. We can see this already, right? And that's what we want to in the atmosphere, where people go, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what came over me. I just. And in the conundrum, because I follow so much in Ukraine, you know, and it is a conundrum, you know, like, you know, even the people I follow, you know, in Ukraine, going, a prolonged war is, you know, a terrible thing, but so is Russian occupation even more. I go, it's a conundrum. So to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable trick, you know, by the power of lamas, by the power of just connecting to this current, you know, a change of heart. Venus is in Leo in the underworld, which is a change of heart. It was Sean Patrick O'Donnie who was pointing out, you know, the Russian war against Chechnya began to end when Russian women marched into Chechnya to take home their men. You know, stop that. You know, and let's see the atmosphere of so many. I mean, it's a horrible thing to be in the Russian army. I mean, it's a horrible thing. In which enough, just there's an atmosphere in which they go, I will not do this anymore. I'm putting down my weapon and I'm walking out. I think just opening the portals for such quality of things, the trickster resolution of the conundrum, like, oh, and when we look at the world and so much heat and temperature, you know, and then and violence and so much, it's like, we don't have time for this. We don't have time for this, you know, into it's uninitiated Mars, you know. It's horrific. And so Venus says, where there's uninitiated Mars, go deep to the Venus, to the herbs, to the dream herbs, to the backstage ritual magic, just to open portals for the non-logical, desirable, liberating trick. And that's where, you know, at the very end of, well, there's so much great things that people sent in, and I invite everybody to some great comments, great comments by Ann Landisberg that are in our missive, really great. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's super great. And Susan Brooks, that's so wonderful. Your grandson, that's wonderful. She offers her, you can read this, but I'll just read it really briefly because it's so wonderful. My only grandchild, son, age 13, was staying with me when we began this dream journey. And that night I asked my non-physicals to help me remember my dreams, since I rarely ever do. Right, never mind that. The next morning I had nothing. However, my grandson, the grandson part of yourself, said, "Grandma Sue, you won't believe the dream I had last night." So here it is, and I'd love to hear what you interpret. Grandma Sue opened the front door and three bears were standing there. And then I said, "Grandma Sue, I'll grab the dogs and you grab the cat. Let's run downstairs to the basement and hide." We went down and hid in the bathroom. Oh, so great, the underworld bathroom. And then a couple hours later, we went upstairs and the bears were gone and the whole house was shiny clean. So we looked around the house and then we looked out a window and we didn't see anything. So we went outside and we saw a really, really big boar around the corner of the house. And then the three bears came out of nowhere, got on the boar and rode off into the sunset. That's a champion dream. That's a champion dream. My God, oh, just fantastic. No, we're not going to in any way irreverence it by interpreting it more than it is. It's just, but we just will honor it. And you're the part of us who had the grandchild part of us who, we all dreamed this in a sense. This is our dream dreamed by the Ann Landisberg grandson part of ourselves. It's so wonderful. That's Susan's. That's right. Okay. So it goes on and on. All right. And then at the end, before that, right. So we do feel the sorrow of the sea, you know, the dire distress and death of the ocean, the 101 degree temperature in the water. And it reminds us of so much of the ocean scientists and the echo side in the Gulf, where the scientists said, you know, it was so poisoned that the dolphins were trying to get out of the water into their boats. And they were like, "Oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry." And I call upon my ally, David Grimes, who was at the Exxon Valdez here in Alaska, which happened on Good Friday. I mean, so the news is mythic. And he was taking a film crew, a British film crew, around Cordova, the bay, and they were filming the Odyssey, and they were just at the point where Ulysses, still alive, goes to visit his mother in the underworld, and they were just reading the lines of Ulysses' mother saying, "What are I can't remember exactly, what are you of the living doing here in this place of, you know, terrible death?" And as they were filming that line, the boat rounded the curve and they saw the Exxon Valdez oil spill and the many, many dead. And what David said is, and scientists from all over, but everyone that night had the same dream. I find it very moving. And he said, so even these hard-nosed scientists, they all said, "You had that dream, we had that dream." So they dreamed there was a heart island shaped like a heart in the middle of the sound. And they said all the souls of the animals were rising up. And their message was love. It's like, whoa, whoa. And the scientists were brought to their knees going, "You know, the animals, the souls of the animals still love us," right? And I go, right, right. And they then, it was the birth of the great environmental movement, you know, with Dune Lankert and David Grimes. And they said, okay, we've lost a great deal, you know, but we will save a great deal. you know, and we will honor the spirit of all the creatures who've died. You know, and so they did. They took Exxon Valdez settlement money to secure the Copper River entire delta, that it never be mined. They're still working on securing parts of it. But it's like, all right, what can we do? What can we do out of this ashes and out of the love for the animals? We go, oh. So, oh no. So much love surrounding you and all of us. So grateful to you and the council, says Kathy Dixon. Yes. And then Sandra says, did you see the whales that recently died by suicide that formed a heart before they breached themselves? No, I didn't. But it's heartbreaking, you know. And again, you know, we call upon all that is resilient and to which we plight our troth, right? Saying to save as much life as possible, to honor what is dying, to dedicate to collective well-being. And I think that that's, you know, in your point, Susan, accountability. And I think that's why, you know, and also many wonder, and also Elizabeth too, to take into account, we focus on the desirable end of wise leadership dedicated to collective well-being that we, well, let me back up here. When Venus goes to the underworld, Inanna, many versions, but she's gathering woof for Renaissance. And when she gets back, I think I've told you this part of it, it's where she becomes the trickster and she rescues human culture. She comes back as her trickster liberator self for her overground thing. And Quetzalcoatl, who is the Venus cycle in Mesoamerica, has become a corrupt leader. And so he goes to the underworld to bring back wise leadership in each heart, in each person, not one person, in each person. And so we also do that for ourselves, you know, may wise leadership be born in each heart. And then we choose the human on whom we do not abdicate our authority, but to be, you know, well, that's where we get the word inaugurate. It comes from the augur, the diviner. The diviner part of each one of us would walk out into nature, and nature would reveal by her patterns the sufficiently responsible person, and then they would be inaugurated. And we go, oh, that's what we're on, you know. And those who are up to no good or for selfish greed, you know, because we are friends of their soul, we are friends of their accountability. There we go, you know, and we can, yeah. Separate the former guy from his ability to fool people, detach Quetzalcoatl mask from him and anyone not on the team world. Yep, that's a good idea. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, we're close to goats ashore. So, okay, we're going down and we're going to come back up for our final thing tonight, right? There we go. Rousing finale in keeping with David Grimes, who'd been through so much. You know, and he goes, no, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. That's also part of the deal. So here we go, team. We're riding out with Daka Braka again, because they're so good. It's our house band. All right. Thank you, team. Here we go.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Pela barra,
my one ass is my land, I am a slave.
Yankee,
Yankee,
Yankee.